Welcome to the Church Planting Group podcast. We are so excited about what God is doing in North America among church planters, partnering churches, and field partners. We invite you to listen to some of North America's best practitioners in the field of church planting. Now get ready, because the conversation is about to begin.
Welcome to the Church Planting Group podcast hosted by the North American Mission Board. Well, today I'm very excited to have a dear friend, Hal Holler from Florida, with us as part of our Church Planting Group podcast. Hal, welcome to the Church Planting Group podcast.
Yeah, thanks, Tom. Glad to be here.
Well, I'm feeling a little bit of my age here today, I might tell you, because one of the great church planters who's been just well known in the southeastern part of North America in launching church plants and launching large, Hal and his wife and another brother, Don, came to one of my early launching large conferences. You guys flew from here to Oklahoma City, which I think is where we met in that regard. Am I right?
Yes, we did. We had I actually started a church in Miami and went from 6 people to 12 people to 50 people to 75 people to 100 people. And after about 3 years, I was totally wiped out and exhausted.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And so when I felt like God wanted me to start another church again, I kept thinking to myself, there's got to be an easier way than just adding a few people at a time.
Addition takes a long time.
Addition takes a long time. Surely there's a bigger net to cast.
Well, share with our listening audience today, Hal is planning another church, shock of all shocker, in Bartow, Florida, called LifeBridge Church, and we'll get the email and website and all that at the end of our program today. But it is a special privilege for me to talk with Hal today, because Hal has the distinction in Florida Baptist Convention here to have the largest single day launch with 396 on their first great day launch. A great church that has grown very, very strong. It's not one, Hal is such a great catalyst that he's able to do it over and over again. One day God's probably going to settle him down, maybe one day very soon, and the last church, who knows, LifeBridge may be the last one. Only God knows that for sure. But let's talk a little bit, if we can, Hal. I will, as we get done, talk with a little bit about reproducingchurches.com, but let's talk about the subject of launching large. And what did you think about the very first time that you I think it was Rick Lawrence sent you over to Oklahoma, and you were starting to think in that area? Just share a little bit of what God did in the midst of your journey as you began to think about launching large.
Well, I think for me, it just sort of that premise I'd shared with you before. Here I was thinking about how can I reach more people and get over some of the attendance barriers that I saw. A lot of my friends who had started churches,
yeah,
you know, their churches hovered around 50 or 80 or maybe 120, but never could seem to really enlarge their impact and influence. And really that was my motivation. A lot of people, I know the motivation is it's about numbers, or, you know, the old adage, buildings, butts, and budgets. But for me, it was really, how could I enlarge the impact and create maybe a level of attendance or group that I could have a platform for greater growth, mm-hmm, and greater impact. And so my mind started thinking about that. What would that take? What would it entail? And what would be some of those key components? And that was of great interest to me. And when I found out you were doing the launching large in Oklahoma,
I'm amazed how you ever found out, to tell you the truth, which was a God
thing
back
then.
Well,
I think Rick Lawrence was the one who told me about it.
Oh, he must have known it.
Because I had told him that this was in my heart to do. And he says, hey, you ought to check out what Tom Cheney's doing. I think he's doing a couple of these conferences on launching large. You should go check it out. And I was already sold. I was there because that's what God was dealing my heart about.
Well, I remember at you guys, we sat in a really great conference room. It was like an amphitheater type thing, where I felt like I was the guy at the bottom of the pit, and you guys were sitting in these beautiful, comfortable chairs for 8 hours a day. And I remember that you and Don and your wife sat right up in the front. I was, I remember you were like in the spitter section.
Yes, I was determined. I was going to take everything I could. And not only did I take everything that you said and wrote it down, I actually analyzed it and said, okay, I think that'll work. Oh, I don't think that will work.
Yeah.
you know, all those kinds of things, and thinking about my context and the place that God was placing me in the church, and what are those components or elements that could work. And and what would the base critical mass look like? And so anyways, it was very helpful in the journey for me.
Well, here we are today, some years later, probably what, about 8, 9 years later, maybe?
Yeah, that we...
Maybe 10, I'm trying to think.
I think in 2003 is when I came out to see you.
When you came out there
early
to do
part
the conference.
Of that,
I had done so many of those conferences, I couldn't keep up when you hit to where we were. But I remember, I thought it was Oklahoma City. But things have changed. First of all, you've planted 4 churches where you've used the launching large method. And seen great success in 3. But there's some things changing on the, you know, on the forefront right now. And that's really where I want us to talk about today. Hal, is you certainly are a practitioner of launching large. I've done it and I've taught it. But things are changing. And launching large today is not as successful as it has been in days past. Why do you think that is? Or do you think I'm right on that?
Well, I think you are right on that. I think... as with, you know, over the years, there were different methods that reached different groups of people. I think the strategy idea of launching large was a good idea because it meshed in with culture.
Yeah.
People would respond to phone calls and mailers and signs and all these kinds of things. But people are now more wary, more skeptical. The ability to raise the kind of money to create the awareness for a new church that's launching, I think has kind of changed the landscape, on top of the fact that when you're thinking in terms of the church and people being the church, also makes you think, could I be substituting an evangelism strategy that every person should take on for themselves with, you know, glossy marketing? And I'm not against marketing. I'm for it, actually.
You've always been a pretty good proponent of it, to say so.
And I've used, and even this last church plant I started, was more of a hybrid in terms of what I've done in launching large in the past. And that was, again, driven partly by economics, but also by a philosophical change. And so I spent actually time really working with people, helping them understand what their sphere of influence was, how they could leverage that with people, doing something that from day one would help people not to rely simply on mailers or phone calls or to just kind of grab a core of people that know each other and hope to God you have a really great assimilation strategy to keep 40 or 50 or
stick.
60% of those folks who are there. And so far, it seems to be working. And what also was different for me was I've always come into a community thinking I'm going to be there 2-3 years and then I'm going to exit.
Well, you're not thinking that these days.
I'm not thinking that anymore.
Somebody told you that years ago, if you remember.
I'm church planning fatigued right now. Yeah. The raising money for your salary, raising money for your capital costs, parachuting to a new community, having new relationships. That is a lot of work.
Yes.
And it's very stressful, not only on you but your wife, your children, the finances, the relationships, all these different kinds of stresses that come to it. So I, before I moved to the Bartow area, my wife and I took a year to pray because we knew where we were, which was over in the Daytona area, that God was going to move us on. But then we were hoping and praying that God would settle us in a place that we could build a church for the long haul. When you start thinking,
a reproducing church,
where I think I have the cred points now.
Oh, I'm sure you do.
Of always going.
Yeah.
And being sent.
You have the coffee mug and the t-shirt.
I got them both, man. I got a couple of mugs.
I'm sure.
And they're cracked. But now what I want to do is begin to pour my life into guys who want to be sent out, who also maybe have movement in their feet. Just like I have. And I believe that, you know, I'll always have that catalytic, entrepreneurial, apostolic.
Oh, it's who you are, bud.
Yeah.
It's who you are.
Calling that God has. And I will express that in different ways, even if it's planting churches around this church that I'm planting.
Let me
finish this point. And that is, now that I know that I'm going to be there for the long haul, the launching strategy isn't as important.
Nope. But the assimilation and discipleship is.
It is absolutely essential. And so I'm thinking, well, what if I am going to be here for 10 years or 15 years, or if God grants me life, you know, 20 years or more, then I want to make sure that I build a solid foundation of a church. And so I don't necessarily need lots of people from day one to have critical mass, to be able to get a pastor and supporting staff, and then get them moving and then get out, which I typically have done.
That was your past,
That's the past. Now what I want to do is root myself in and pour into the people that God is entrusting my care.
Amazing. I want us to think through, and I wish we had time just anchor there for a little while, but on our subject matter, just want to allow us today how, you know, one of the things that you and I were talking about, you said it just a few seconds ago, minutes ago, you're talking about even how some of the finances are drying up. You know, there used to be a lot of money, or at least a good bit of money. I don't know what a lot would equal, but a good bit of money out there for those who were successful church planters and launching large. There were churches who would come alongside. There were pastors who would give some dollars. There were lay people who would contribute, you know, monthly to that. Some of that is drying up, and some of it is, you know, that's a strategy. I mean, we were teaching this, and you were going to this in, you know, early 2000s. We're at 2010, and I was teaching this in about 98 is when, you know, was what I would call the heyday of a lot of that teaching that I was doing, and that it may have been, it may have dried up, and you and I just had a conversation outside and said, you know, some of what used to work in launching large, it's just not as successful as it used to be. Part of that is the money issue. Why do you think some of the dollars and cents, I mean, you know the economic times we're in as well as I do. Mm-hmm. What are some of your thoughts in that area? Why do you think it is?
Well, there's a lot less disposable income that people have. Where I live, and I have planted this church, over 20% of the people are unemployed.
Yeah. In Bartow.
In Bartow. Mm-hmm. And so it's been hit economically pretty hard.
Do your sponsors get weary? I mean, you've had a good list of sponsors in the
Absolutely.
Past.
Absolutely. I mean, they've been excited every time.
And they've been great.
Yes. And part of it is, honestly, people don't understand why would you, if we supported you, start a church, that church grows, then that church is able to finally support you financially.
Why would you leave?
Why then do you go and leave and go start all over again from scratch?
Mm-hmm. It's the catalytic calling, brother.
And most people honestly don't understand that. And so people, even if they sign up to support you, they'll be up for one or two, but then they're saying, gosh darn it, why don't you just like stick around this one?
Would you light somewhere?
Yes, exactly. Would you just stick around where you are? You shallow, you have no roots, you know. You leave before there's trouble. What's the deal?
You didn't leave before there's trouble.
Uh-uh.
You had to deal with some.
actually, before I leave a church, I hope that there's some kind of issue that emerges in the church that will actually crystallize that church into becoming just a crowd,
draw them together
to a congregation. And normally, what happens, there has to be some crisis point, some change point. Some trouble point that happens.
Where they become church.
And then the dross kind of goes off, but then it really sticks people together. Mm-hmm. I feel a lot better because then I know that if I leave, people have bonded together, and it's more than a personality.
And they won't flight. They won't flight because the personality's gone.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So just getting back to your original question about finances is, I think for me, I think I have donor fatigue. Mm-hmm. People have supported me over the years, and partly they're affected by economics. I've had several people tell me, hey, you know, I used to be able to support you a good amount. I can't support you now. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm trying to hang on to my house. Things like that. So that's really changed the game.
That's a realistic part that planners need to realize today.
Yes. And you know what? To me, it's I think it's an exciting change. It's a new challenge. So how and so it's even made me think, how do I even create a church that can be relevant to the community and even support itself through the community as it's trying to reach the community.
Some are doing that across the
nation. And so I'm doing that now. I rented out a storefront. I built it out like a training center where I now have a church that's meeting there on Sunday morning. So they're paying some rent. I'm doing training, church planning training. So I'm getting a stipend for those that I'm training. We're opening a tutoring center for the community in that place. So before you know it, this church will not have to pay any kind of lease, whether it's for that training center or the school that we currently meet at. So I'm trying to think of some creative ways to have ongoing support that doesn't primarily rely on just donors to give you money. Yeah. So it can become more self-sustaining.
Now, if there's a guy out there today and he's, you know, he's read the church planting books and heard Launching Large, and he may not be in as progressive of a community as you have been in and I have been in, and he's thinking, oh, this will work, this will work. You know, I know now, you know, almost 20 years removed, that some of this now, it ebbs and flows, and we may be in the, you know, the ebb where it's not as successful. What advice would you give to a young guy who just is itching to try to launch large? How would you tell him to seek the Father, and is it a go or is it a no-go? Because you and I know the horror stories, mm-hmm. and you and I know the success stories.
Well, one is, I think you have to have a calling and a gifting to do a launching large strategy.
Yeah, you certainly have to have the gifting.
I've seen plenty of guys who've used the strategy to a T, the methodology, but then after they had the big splash in the pan, they had a lot of people come, 4 to 6 weeks later, they're down to 20 or 30 people again. Nobody stuck. So I think you have to have a real calling, and you've got to be a real risk taker, because mm-hmm. it's going to involve a lot of income or cash.
And strong leader, because
and a strong leader.
You don't keep that thing moving past the 3 week slide. If you can't keep it moving, you'll be down to no one.
You'll be down to no one, and you'll disappoint your donors. You'll disappoint the people who maybe were initially in your launch team or core team. So you've got to make sure that you count the cost. Know it's a risky methodology, mm-hmm. To know that you've been called and that you have the leadership or the gifting, the wiring to assimilate those people who come, and then be able to settle that church and then grow from whatever settling point you're at. So I think that is a major consideration for launching large.
What would be if you were asked to do it again? I mean, I know you got a total different strategy now. It's got a little bit of launching large, but it's got some other things you've learned. What would be the kind of the redo, the remix? You're certainly, if there's a person that I can sit here in front of us, I mean, in front of the teacher, and tell them, Tom, you're wrong, it's you. What are things that you're doing differently today that you know, you said you got kind of a hybrid of this. Yeah. How is it different?
Well, which relates to the question you had just asked previously is knowing how fertile your community is. Because mm-hmm. I know that when I started, let's say, the church in Lakeland several years ago, there was no real modern, contemporary, or even semi-missional type of church.
You were the it guy.
I was it. But since that time, it has moved a number of churches in that direction, and mm-hmm. and even more modern or contemporary style churches.
Than you had, yeah.
And so I think also when you go into community, you got to find what is your niche going to be. And if you're doing a launching large and it's based on what's already happening in the community,
you're not special.
You're not special. Mm-hmm. You're just going to throw a lot of money away. So you don't want to do that.
And that's a great point for our planners to hear.
You've got to exegete the culture and when I'm saying culture, even the spiritual culture, what is out there and available. So for me, going to Bartow and knowing that, you know, 15 minutes up the road or 20 minutes up the road, there's several of these type of churches. I don't want to start another church like that.
No. And God may not have a need for that.
And I don't
not,
think
not using your gift set.
I don't think so.
You could do something different.
And the other thing is my philosophy and my passion has begun to change. Rather than my philosophy in the past has always been, you know, reach a crowd, develop a core leadership base, rock and roll.
Mm-hmm. And oh, yeah.
I mean, that's simple.
To a T.
Yeah. But now it's more of, rather than the crowd, I'm looking at the individual. Yeah. And as I think about being the church and living that out in people's sphere of influence, that means I have to take quite an intensive approach to the individual, and helping them understand how they can be the church in their context. Not creating social justice causes and things like that we hear about missional churches, but really finding out how are they hardwired, what are their dreams and aspirations and goal, and then coming alongside of them and equipping them. Essentially, creating a customized spiritual formation piece for every person
to live the
mission of God out, rather than saying, here are 4 cookie-cutter classes we want you to attend, and now you're a fully devoted follower of Jesus. We want to find out where you are, create your individual path, and do it in the context of community.
Well, That's amazing. Well, as if that doesn't keep you busy enough. And, of course, I also know you. If you weren't real busy, brother, you probably wouldn't be all right. You are one of four really just missional leaders that started years ago, about three years ago, four years ago?
Yeah, just over 3 years ago.
You as Hal Holler, uh-huh. Robert Beckham, Billy Mitchell, and Jason Duke started ReproducingChurches.com, which started a little bit over 3 years ago, as you said. It was just a networking of churches, and God's really blessed it. You told me earlier that you said you had 20-some networks across the area from one little group of what you said, maybe 10 people.
Yes.
Just share a little bit about that, and then tell, as before we wrap up, tell our listening audience how, if they need to, would like to find out more about Reproducing Churches, how they can connect with you guys.
Well, you simply go to ReproducingChurches.com. It gives all the information about who we are. We have blog, our values, a number of different things that you can connect with. We're highly relational. We don't do a lot of marketing and pizzazz.
No.
It's all been through the context of relationship. We do a dinner at Exponential, which we're doing tomorrow night. Mm-hmm. And then in the fall, we do what we call a conversation, not a conference. It's called the Live Sent Conversation. And for a couple of days, about 150 of us get together, and we talk about how we can fulfill the mission of God, not only as pastors, but how do we do that with the other 98%.
Amen.
That's in the church, and mobilize mm-hmm. them for God's mission. So it's been very exciting how this thing has really grown and bloomed, and there are other groups that are wanting to do this, not only here in the U.S., but even abroad. So we're having those conversations even now.
Well, it is an incredible model. It's amazing what God has done in just 1,000 days, just a little bit over 1,000 days. You know, 3 years, and God has just really poured out a great blessing. Well, Hal, it's been great just us just talking about Launching Large, and who would have known that many years ago we'd be sitting here having this conversation to kind of warn church planters that it may not be, you hear all the great stories, but they need to be wise to see, make sure they're cut out in the right type of calling and commissioning to really do that. And it also may be a model that its day may not be as productive as it's been in the past. So if there's one person that we could teacher to teachee, and back then teachee being teacher, it's just been great to have you part of our podcast today.
Yeah, thank you, Tom. And one more thing. When we started Reproducing Churches, we didn't want to start an organization.
That's right.
We wanted to be a part of starting a movement. And when we get together, we don't talk about organizational things. We get together and we pray. We encourage each other. And we find tangible ways to give it away. So we don't offer anything because we have nothing.
Yeah.
But we have relationships. And in those relationships, we have everything that we need.
Amen.
Through His Word, through His Spirit, and through the people that God gives us.
Amen. Well, you're a blessing every time I see you, my friend. And it's just great to have you as part of our podcast. So thanks for hanging out with me today, brother.
Thank you, Tom. God bless.
Well, friends, be sure to come back next week, because the Lord is always opening doors and moving mountains through church planters. As always, remember to visit the churchplantingvillage.net for all of your church planting needs. Planting the seed of God's love in North America and beyond, this is your Church Planting Group podcast.
Thank you for listening to today's edition of the Church Planting Group podcast. By subscribing to this podcast, you have already taken some great steps to being trained and equipped for God's work of church planting. Also, be sure to check out churchplantingvillage.net for more resources and information on church planting, partnering churches, and field partners, as well as the latest edition of the Church Planting Group podcast. Reaching America, Canada, and beyond, this is your Church Planting Group podcast.